That was I always prefer some subject just to sort of start the ball rolling, otherwise it's more difficult, at least for me. But then when Shruti brought up these two things, one was Dhruva Maharaj's perfection, and the other one was Gajendra's, the elephants. Those were good enough. Interestingly, although Lord Chaitanya would during the day, when he would do sankirtan in public places, then he wouldn't talk to people. He would just sing and dance. And when he was amongst his devotees, with the devotees, he would take prasadam and they would talk. And then he would talk different topics. And only at night, when he was alone in the Gambira, devotees, who's been to Gambira? Who's seen Gambira? Never been there. And it was a very nice, they built it up in the last 10 years, but before that it was like when we went. When did we go? When was that? 90?
1990.
When?
1990.
1990. When we went in a group in 1990, then it was just like it was in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. It hadn't changed since then. They made this whole diorama museum and they made new modern cement structures. So at night time, like this, after all the devotees have gone to sleep, then Swarup Damodara and Ramananda Roy had retired. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to retire, and Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he gave him permission. And he moved his houses there in Puri. It's near the king's house. It's down from the temple, towards between temple and Gundicha. Sort of a little, just a little off the main road. And Swarup Damodara, he lived right opposite Haridas Thakur. Where's Haridas Thakur Samadhi? Swarup Damodara lived there. And there was Jagannanda Pandit. Right on the corner was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. That's where ISKCON now has a building. And then there were others, Chota Haridas, and they were further down that road. So they would come to Gambira. And then Lord Chaitanya would talk about. Lord Chaitanya would then be in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And with those two, Swarup Damodara is Lalita Devi, Ramananda Roy is, who's many things, is Vishaka Devi, and he's Arjuna, the Pandava Arjuna, and it's also this Arjun Gopi. And they would talk about till early in the morning, at least as long as they were able to keep energy. And then they made Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lay down, and they pacified him, because Lord Chaitanya was going through different ecstasies, mostly ecstasies of separation. So they would go very high, they would be very happy, then he would become very sad and start to cry. And obviously they would always leave him on a happy note, mm-hmm. Otherwise you can't go to sleep if you're crying. There are different different verses, different texts that authors use. But for instance, quoting Srimati Radharani, when she says that since Krishna has left Vrindavan, I haven't been able to go to sleep because I'm always crying. So when your face is wet, then you can't sleep. But that's not the topic. The topic was that with devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, devotees in general, he kept his own personal feelings secret for the most part. And then he would talk about topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. One of the topics was Dhruva Maharaj. And Gaudiya Vaishnavas say that the Lord Chaitanya discussed and explained the Leela many, many times, like they use numbers like 50 and so on and more. And interestingly, in one of Lord Chaitanya's biographies, Chaitanya Mangal, then before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes sannyas, he tells a story to Mother Sachi. He tells it to her so that she won't... She tells him, look, here's this little boy, he was 5 years old. His mother told him to leave home for the forest. So I'm 24 years old, why are you lamenting? And then Lord Chaitanya tells the story, and it's very different than in Srimad Bhagavatam. One part that's very different is that everyone's a devotee of Krishna, starting with what's the father's name? Maharaj Uttanapad. And then the mothers, the two mothers. And what's his stepmother's name? Surichi. Suricha or Surichi. And when he tries to climb up on his father's lap, and she pulls him down and says, no, you can't go up. And do you know why? Because your mother's not a good devotee of Krishna. And because she did not worship Krishna properly, therefore you're the son of a secondary queen. So of course Dhruva got very angry. And then he went and he talked to his mother, and his mother's very humble. That's the same as in the Bhagavatam. And she says, it's true, I'm not a very good devotee of Krishna. And Dhruva says, where is Krishna? And where can I find him? He says, Krishna's in the forest. He says, if you want to be recognized by your father, then go to the forest. So Lord Chaitanya said, just see. This little boy took sannyas at 5 years of age. He said, so you shouldn't be upset that I'm going. Because there are also different versions, but generally it sounds like the Lord Chaitanya actually told his mother that he was leaving. There's other version where he just sort of leaves and she doesn't know. So Dhruva left. He went to the forest, and he said, "What? Where in the forest?" He said, "You go to Madhuvan." And in Madhuvan, and it said that Lord Krishna is very easily attained. Madhuvan is the forest right next to Mathura, and it's called Madhu because it's very sweet. Madhu means honey. So there's also many bees there, and Krishna has many pastimes there, and it's very, very ancient. The Dhruva Maharaj, this is going back long, long, long time. Anyway, he was there, and of course he met Narada Muni, and Narada Muni tried to test them, and he asked him, where are you going? He says, I'm going to look for Krishna. He says, well, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Madhuvan. Do you know where it is? He says, I know where it is, but you're a little boy and this is just a jungle. He says, you're not safe there. So one of Dhruva Maharaj's characteristics, of course, is that he was a Kshatriya. So Kshatriyas, once they are determined to do something, then they do it. And so Dhruva Maharaj told Narada Muni, he says, look, either help me out, but don't put any obstacles in my way. So if you're going to help me, then tell me. Otherwise, don't. So there's an interesting part here. Narada, when he goes to Vaikuntha and he goes to Krishna, and he said, no, that comes after. So then, yes, Narada Muni actually initiates him, and he gives him a mantra. It isn't clear whether it's the same Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya mantra as in Bhagavatam. But then Dhruva starts performing austerities. And one reason that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much liked this pastime, because it shows how determined someone has to be in order to attain Krishna. And Dhruva Maharaj, at least at this stage, not later, but at this stage, he's considered to be a Kanishtha Adhikari. He's a Kanishtha Adhikari because he's motivated for artha. He's motivated for wealth. Krishna says, artha jignasur, artha tigyani cha. These are the four motivations by which people take to devotional service. Aside from pure devotional service, trying to please Krishna, this is motivated service. Someone wants wealth. And he wanted wealth. He said, I want a wealth greater than that of my father and greater than that of my grandfather, who's Brahma. That way I'll take vengeance on my stepmother and also on my father for being so unkind to me. So he started performing austerities, and at first he was just sitting in the water, and whatever leaves fell there, then he would eat, and he would eat the leaf once every day, every alternate day, once a week, once a month. He would sip water, then he would go under, then he would start to regulate his breathing, and ultimately he came to the stage where he was using the mantra. Just like Gop Kumar uses the mantra in order to travel to different places, then he was actually using the mantra in order to achieve his purpose. And with the power of the mantra and his own austerities, Dhruva Maharaj started to make his own breathing one with the breathing of the universe. So as he breathed, the universe breathed. And as he cut down his breathing, everyone else started suffocating. So at this stage, the demigods came to Narada Muni and said, you're making trouble again. And you give him this boy this advice, you told him where to go, you gave him this mantra, and as a result of that, he's putting us in this difficult situation. So now, Narada Muni goes to Goloka, and he goes to Krishna, and he says, boy Dhruva is there and he's performing austerities to see you. If you don't see him, he's going to choke off demigods and everyone's going to suffocate and going to die in the universe. And Krishna says, who is this Dhruva anyway? He says, well, he's Uttanapad's son, and he's performing this austerity in order to see you. He says, I don't go to people who perform austerities. He says, I only go to those who are initiated by my devotees. And Narada Muni says, I initiated them. Then he said, all right, then I'll go. And then the difference is, in Bhagavatam, it's Krishna Garba, who has happened to have appeared in the world at that time in his four-eyed form, who comes. So it's a expansion of Narayana. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. His Vasudev is coming. Well, Lord Chaitanya tells the story, it's Krishna coming. And then he sees Krishna. Shyamasundara appears, which in Vrindavan is not impossible. So whether it's a different story at a different time in the universe, but anyway, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu telling it. And then, of course, at that stage, Dhruva Maharaj becomes a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada would quote a verse that's he would quote it. And it's in this Hari Bhakta Shudodhaya. And because Dhruva Maharaj, he was very overwhelmed by the presence of the Lord. And then Krishna blessed him in order to be able to offer prayers, and by Krishna's touch, then he became free from this desire. He realized I was trying to get something. So he says, Stana vilasi tapastito ham tam pratavam deva munindra guyam katam vichindram apidivya ratnam swamin kritato smi varanam deyachi. Stana vilasi tapastito ham. So I engaged in all kinds of austerities just in order to achieve this extraordinary opulence, but now that I'm seeing you, it's like Swami, it's like I was looking for shards of glass, and then I ended up with a Divya Ratnam, with a touchstone. So he was looking for material opulence, but he ended up by having darshan of Krishna. So he says, Swami Kritato Smi Varanam Nayachi. He says, no, I don't want anything. Because, well, that's too bad. Because you wanted it, so now that you came for it, and you made me come all this way, so now you have to take it. That was also a setback. Prabhupada often points that out, that sometimes when we ask for something, and then we end up getting it, and we may have to be obliged to actually accept that. It's a dangerous thing to worship Krishna for some material benediction. And then, of course, the pastime goes on like that. Dhruva Maharaj, and ultimately how Dhruva Maharaj takes his mother back home, back to Godhead. But this was the part that Lord Chaitanya gave, and then how he became a great devotee, and then Narada Muni again goes back, and he tells Uttanapada that your son has achieved perfection, he's become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, and he's received back, and then in that way, in due course of time, he becomes the king. Then Maharaj Uttanapada, he accedes the throne, and he leaves. So, Dridhavrata, Krishna says, papam janana punya karmana. But one has to have that real determination. So Lord Chaitanya very much appreciated this pastime because it showed how determined one has to be to get Krishna. And that one's willing to go through so many things. First of all, he's 5 years old. Of course, nowadays, 5 year old people don't do this. I think I may have mentioned this. When I went to sometimes visit different places in Orissa. Orissa is like a really, really nice place, spiritual place. It's sort of like a toned-down version of Bengal. People aren't as passionate. And when they hold holy festivals, you go, they have these public festivals, and you go past these big villages, and in the village square, you'll see they have kirtan in the middle, and all around, huge, huge big area, like 200-300 yard diameter. It's all Radha Krishna deities on palanquins, and they bring them from all the surrounding little villages. So you've got literally 100 Radha Krishna deities, and they're all around, and all the people are there, and they take the deities, and they take them procession, they take them from house to house. Why was I talking about Orissa? I forget. Five years, yes, that's right. In Orissa, there were two up until relatively recently. One is that in the villages, if a boy wanted to marry a girl, his qualification was how well he could recite Srimad Bhagavatam. And another was that at a certain point, at 16 years of age, when boys would either receive, especially the Brahmin boys, would receive brahminical initiation or something, at the village, the village elders, and then they would go through all kinds of rites like that of aging, they would go to the edge of the village and they draw this line. It's symbolic, but still it happens sometimes. The idea is if the boy crosses the line, he takes a yes. And it still happens. of course, not everyone wants to usually stay on this side. They become computer technicians and so on. But even after recently they do that, and younger they cross the line, that's it. And then they just walk away. They just leave. But he was 5 years old. And he was very, very determined. He had that Kshatriya blood, Kshatriya, so like that. They're very determined, just like Abhimanyu was 16 years old, and he was fighting off all the Kaurava heroes just single-handedly. The only way they could fight him was by dirty tricks, but not honestly. Krishna Dharma, when he told me, he was doing the Mahabharata, he told me that in one of the versions it describes how Abhimanyu, when he was fighting, they did martial arts, and he was up in the air. He was flying up in the air, and from up in the air he was shooting his weapons down. Not in a spaceship or anything, just then you had to jump up in the air and whirl up in the air and stay in the air, and from there he was shooting. So they were expert in everything. And then once one makes that determination, then you never look back. Even when Narada Muni tempted him, and then yes, there are other that's the other aspect that isn't in Srimad Bhagavatam. Then all the different demigods come, and because they're all worried that he's going to actually want their position, so Indra comes and starts whispering in his ear, "Watch it, there's a tiger behind you," but he doesn't move. And then some other demigods turn into snakes and they dance in front of him, but Dhruva won't move. He just continues with his vow. And they do all types of things. Obviously, he's too young to be tempted by any demigoddesses, but they all do all kinds of different things to scare him. But he won't budge. He just stays there. Whatever they do. So that type of determination, and that's the benefit of hearing the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, is by hearing it we also can acquire, and by the mercy of Dhruva Maharaj, acquire that determination, that real dridhavrata that Krishna requires. Bhajan te mam dridhavrata. If you really want to do Krishna bhajan, then you have to have determination. So Dhruva is a real example of the type of determination one has to have in order to do Krishna bhajan. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.